look in John chapter number 1 and look at verse number 29. We know that Jesus has already been baptized in the story. And the reason we know this is because he is returning from his temptation. And how do we know that he's returning from his temptation? Well, because you might notice in verse 29, we have John the Baptist being recorded as saying, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. So John is referring back to a time when he baptized Christ. Remember, Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days. The reason we know that this is not the day of his baptism is because of verse 35. And the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, well, we know right away from Matthew and Mark that Jesus went right after his baptism into the wilderness. Here in John, he has some other things that happened right after what this day records. And so this is not his baptism being recorded in verse 29. It's after that. John is visited by Jesus at his place of baptizing, and John says this amazing thing, that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you're reading John, what book most likely comes to mind? And I'm going to give you a couple hints here in the beginning. Yeah. Doesn't John start that the way Genesis begins? They both start in the beginning. Yes? And we have in Genesis 22, yes, last week, I think it was Samantha. Where are you at, Samantha Hartman? Wave at me. There you are. Remember, she asked a question about cremation, and we talked about this story to some degree. Do you remember that? You remember Abraham took Isaac, and Isaac said, Father, I see the wood, and I see the fire, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. All right, get that now. God will provide himself a lamb. Now, the reason we know that that was not immediately fulfilled was because it was not a lamb caught in the thicket. It was a ram caught in the thicket. And so there was a very long telescopic view of that promise that Abraham made to Isaac. One day, God will provide himself a lamb. And so when John is recorded here as seeing this carpenter from Nazareth walking down the beaches of the Jordan River, he says, Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Maybe the audience in that day didn't catch the full significance of that, but the reader did. The reader is a student of Genesis. And all through the book of Genesis, we see John connecting his gospel with the book of Genesis, the first thing of which being the first three words, in the beginning. So it is no strange thing that this terminology is being used. John is clearly saying Jesus is the fulfillment of Abraham's prophecy to Isaac. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. And therefore, a lamb signifies something. It signifies death, doesn't it? So let's go to Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5. We're not going to make a whole lot of headway here on the verses that we're covering. We made it past chapter 5 for the most part last week. Didn't receive too many questions through the week, so I'm guessing that sufficed. We have been through the scene of the throne room, and I just want to remind us that, so basically, just like we did in the Book of Life for 2 weeks, now we're going to take a break and talk about this theme in the Book of Revelation known as the Lamb of God. Okay? The Lamb of God. So let's remind ourselves where we are in this geography. We're over here in the Aegean Sea, an island off the coast of the Aegean Sea known as Patmos. Patmos, okay? And that bulb needs changing. I think this one is good here. This island here known as Patmos in the Aegean Sea off the west coast of modern-day Turkey. Okay? Good. This happens hereafter. Now, chapter 4, verse 1, please look there if you would with me. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice when I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, saying, Come up hither. So, this is good. Remember, we're students of the Word, so you've got to really crank in and nail down a spike here with me for a minute. You notice it says, after this. That word, after this, is the same set of Greek words that comes from the word hereafter in verse 18. Look there with me, of chapter 1. Chapter, rather, 19 of, forgive me, Verse 19 of chapter 1. Verse 19 of chapter 1. Here Jesus says to John, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So John, write about the past, the present, the future. That word hereafter is found in chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. The very same Greek word is translated after this. So, John begins now recording what was future for him from his standpoint in AD 90-ish. There are people who don't think it was written in AD 90. There's a reason why they have something to gain by not believing it was written in AD 90. And we'll talk about that maybe if we need to. All right, so what we're dealing with here today is still future. At least it was from the time John wrote this book. Now, we're going to talk today about, first of all, eight things concerning this Lamb in the book of Revelation. I'm fully aware we may not get through them all, and I don't care. Okay? So we'll take the time to answer questions that we have or concerns that might be we might need to address. All right, so let's take the first one. Number one, we saw this last week. The Lamb is the only one found worthy to open the book with the seven seals. All right, I want you to see this. Please look at chapter 5, verse 5. What did we say last week that this book of seven seals was? Anyone? Mike? Okay, so the book is a particular object. What did we identify that as? Walter?
Title
deed to planet Earth. You might remember if you were here. If you weren't here, I hope that you listened to the lesson. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the lesson, I'm going to assume it's because this is your first week with us. All right? I'm going to cut you the benefit of the doubt. And so I know I'm only saying this for our visitors because everyone else in here is very, very faithful to keep up with the study. All right? Now, you might remember the book of Revelation is the story of how Christ reclaims the earth. In chapter 5, we have this unveiling of this title deed. And in chapter 19, he sets foot back on the earth. Between chapter 6 and chapter 19, we have a gradual reclamation of planet Earth. Why? The earth is the Lord's. Now, I think that it would be good if I could have someone in here read a couple verses for me. I don't want everyone turning to it. All right, do you see that? In Psalm 2, it is prophesied that Christ would have the ends of the earth for his possession. So, we're seeing in Revelation a fulfillment of the prophecy in Psalm 2. That's good. All right, so this is one big drama. Now, okay, so number one, we know that the Lamb is the only one found worthy to open the book. And we're told that he's found worthy because of verse number 9 of chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 9 of Revelation. They sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the scroll or the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. So there are two things that the Lord was to get because of his work on the cross. The nations, that is the people, and what? And the ends of the earth. So he is supposed to claim every realm of creation because of his work on the cross. Colossians 1:20, you might want to write it in the margin of your Bible next to Revelation 5:9. It says that the whole world, the cosmos, the created world, was restored or reconciled to God. Now think about this now. This is very important. I'll bet most of you have read Colossians 17 times. All right, so maybe not. I'm not sure I have. But Colossians 1:20, it says he's reconciled the world to himself through the blood of his cross. All of creation, he's reconciled to himself through the blood of his cross. Sometimes we think, well, he really just died for people. Hold on. Let's just try to remember that the whole creation is cursed. Romans 8 links the sin of Adam with the curse of creation. And when Christ comes at what Ephesians 4 calls the day of redemption, it's not just the people he's taking to himself. It is the creation that's been groaning for this redemption. So all of creation is linked somehow with the redemption of people. So let's see here. Let's look at chapter number 6. Look at verse number 1. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. All right, so this is the first seal. Maybe we'll talk about this starting next week. He opened one of the seals. All right, look at same chapter, verse 3. When he'd opened the second seal, who is he? Well, who's the one who opened the first seal? Verse 1, the Lamb. All right, verse number 5. And when he, the Lamb, had opened the third seal, verse 7. And when he, the Lamb, had opened the fourth seal, verse 9. And when he, the Lamb, had opened the fifth seal, verse 12. And when he, the Lamb, had opened the sixth seal. And then you've got to go all the way to chapter 8, verse 1. And you see, when he, the Lamb, had opened the seventh seal. So it is indeed the Lamb who's opening this book. And little by little, he's opening each of the seals, and he's revealing a little bit more of his plan at the grand old reclamation, grand opening of the king and his kingdom. All right? Any questions about that so far? We see that this is the place where the Lamb is first seen in the book of Revelation. And it's interesting, isn't it, to note that the reason he's found worthy is for the very reason that we assume he's a lamb to begin with, because you were slain. And he redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tribe, people, and nation. That, folks, is the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. Do you remember? What was the promise that God gave Abraham? All nations would be blessed through Abraham. All the nations of the earth would be blessed. And Paul said in Galatians 3:8 that that was the gospel that was preached to Abraham. So, we see in Revelation 5, verse 9, the fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham. That the very seed of Abraham would bring redemption and bless all nations. And now you have all nations being blessed because of the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ, who died to save all nations. That's a great thing. All right, well, let's look at number two. Number two, he is the only one receiving worship from the hosts of heaven, other than the one who began the chapter 4 with being sat on the throne. Look at chapter 7, rather, chapter 5. Look at the same chapter, chapter 5, look at verse 8. And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Isn't that nice that your prayers don't go unnoticed? Your prayers are noticed and retained. In verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Remember, what's the point of the book? To reign on the earth. Okay? Verse 11, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. A little quick math, that's 100 million. So there was a number around. All right, so let's identify this again. We have verse 11. I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 100 million and thousands of thousands. So I guess, John didn't have the gig sound down, because thousands of thousands sounds like he was trying to go beyond 100 million. Saying in verse 12 with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Wasn't that something? John hears them worshiping, and then it says in verse number 13 that he got caught away, and he got caught up in it, and it said, everyone that was in heaven and earth and under the earth heard me saying the same thing. In other words, it captured him. And this is seen a couple more times in the book of Revelation. You see the references below that. You could write that in the margin of your Bible if you want to. So apparently the Lamb is the one receiving worship from the hosts of heaven. But what we can say is that in Exodus chapter number 20, the first commandment is, Thou shalt not have any gods before me. And then the next commandment is, Thou shalt not make any graven image of anything that is in heaven or in earth or under the earth or in the sea. Isn't that something? So in Exodus, now here's John again going back to Exodus. Oh my goodness. See, I wish you folks could see, obviously I'm limited. There's no question that I am limited. Sometimes I communicate like a knucklehead and I just can't seem to get people to see what I see. But in John, you have the Gospel of John always going back to Genesis. Well, if there's one thing that is going to be, I didn't even think about it. So now, one thing that's going to be painfully obvious as you go through Revelation is that Revelation points back to Exodus. Points back to Exodus. Here's one example of Revelation pointing back to Exodus. He names everything. In fact, you know what? You're going to forget it if you don't see it. So I'm sorry. We're going to have to turn. Keep your place here. Look at Exodus chapter number 20. I want you to remember it. I'm concerned that no matter how much I try to stand in here and juggle footballs and gargle peanut butter and do hat dances, I don't think many of you remember what you hear by the time you get to the door. And that bothers me. So I want you to see this. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter number 20. Look at verse number 4. This is the second book of the Bible. We went from the last book of the Bible to the second book of the Bible. So we should be okay here. All right. Exodus 20. Look at verse number 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Y'all get that? So three realms. Heaven, earth, water under the earth. Everyone get that? Okay. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? So we see John going back to Exodus. All right. You're going to notice, let me just give you a few other examples here, that John continually goes back to Exodus in the book of Revelation. In Gospel of John, he goes back to Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, right? Everyone with me? In Revelation, he goes back to Exodus, which is the second book of the Bible. Now, let me give you a few other examples here. Who shows up in Revelation chapter number 11? Some of you have read it before. We have a couple witnesses, right? What is one of them doing? Come on, think Exodus. Turning water into blood. What else? We have plagues happening in the book of Revelation. What are some of them? Hail? Locusts? Doesn't that sound like the 10 plagues in the book of Exodus? All right, so one of you emailed me last week, and I'm not going to ping you because I don't want you to think this is a place you come to get pinged. But you asked me, well, why is it that if this is... you got to hear this now. I mean, this is enough to turn my hair loose if I have any more on this noggin. I probably won't have any eyebrows here if you don't get this, okay? So get this. The reason why I don't think the church get this now. Hear what I'm saying. The reason why I don't think we have to say the church is gone in chapter 6 through 19 of Revelation only because that this is a war of the Lamb on the earth. It's simple. Because in the book of Exodus, God declares war on Egypt. And where is the church? In Egypt. But they weren't touched by the plagues. So it is a teaching thing to know the Old Testament. So all right, number 3. Let's talk about something else concerning the Lamb. Oh, he is full of wrath. Look at chapter 6 of Revelation. So, remember, right now, we're over here somewhere. We are over here somewhere. Yes. Thank you very little. So, yes, well, there's the slides. You got the slides. You have the dry erase board. Okay? All right. I'm going to assign you the Tinkerbell outfit here in a moment. All right. And the problem is I think you'd wear it. All right? So... Would you? All right. So, there are many people who believe that that this is past. They would be called preterists. And there are people who think that this is right here and now passing. That we're somewhere in here. And they are known as either postmillennial or amillennialists. All right. So, number 3, full of wrath. Look at chapter 6 and look at verse 12. We're talking about the sixth seal. Sixth seal. You know what? This is going to be a real chapter of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 12. All right, a couple observations. You are going to really see something here, I think, that will be of great help to you concerning the sixth seal. About a year and a half ago, I taught Matthew 24, and I showed you this, and I had to be a little careful. Thank you. And the reason that I had to be a little careful is because the modus operandi was, the normal way of doing things was that if there was something bombastic and unique to share with the body of Christ, I was going to let the senior pastor do it. And so since he taught you Mark 13, I feel like I can show it to you and say, all right, now look, here's what I showed you the first time, and many of you didn't get it, so let me show you a second time. All right, are you ready? All right, let's look at chapter 6 and verse number 12. I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, And the moon became black as sackcloth of hair. Well, no, it didn't. The sun did. And the moon became as blood. And that's why I won't get bifocals. It's hard enough with monofocals. All right. Verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Y'all see that? All right. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, that's just about everybody, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the wrath, or from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Wow. Great day of his wrath has come. All right, so chapter 6. Look at verse number 12 with me, and let's list the things here that happened during this sixth seal. And then I'm going to do something I love doing. I'm going to put it on a timeline. Now, the reason I like doing that is because I don't like feeling like I don't know what I'm talking about. So I like these little time markers. They're in Exodus. I like finding them. Genesis, I love finding them. So when I find out how long things take, bueno. All right, so look at chapter 6, verse 12. There were great earthquakes. So we got a great earthquake. All right. All right. And then we have the sun coming black, or the sun becoming dark, or whatever. All right. Sun, black. Okay. That's significant. That doesn't happen all the time. Moon, blood. All right. Or we could say crimson or dark. Okay. Yep. Alrighty, and the stars falling from heaven, okay? Stars falling from heaven. Now, we're going to talk about what that means. I'll let Scripture tell us, but I just wanted you to be aware that this happens during the sixth seal. And heaven's departed as a scroll. Okay, well, that was fun. Now, let's find out when this happens. Want to? All right. Look at chapter 2 of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 2. So, the question is, when does Revelation chapter 6, verse 10. When does it happen? When does it happen? Of Acts chapter 2? What am I talking about? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? We're going to Acts 2. The question is, when does the sixth seal happen? I'll put 12 for some of you dissenters. All right. Acts chapter 2. And is it cold in here? Or is it just you? I'm just kidding. All right, so Acts chapter 2, Jim Hartman. And verse number 16. What takes place in Acts chapter 2? Anyone? The day of Pentecost. That means that they have tambourines, right? Oh, flags. Right. Yeah. No. It means that they were celebrating the festival of 50. Pentecost. Day of Pentecost. Fully come. Chapter 2. Look at verse number 20 here and verse number 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Look at verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, Peter says, as he quotes Joel, saith God, says God. All right, so God says it, Joel says it, Peter says it, and then Luke records it. All right. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above. Oh, boy. Signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Signs in heaven. Let's see. Wonders in heaven above. Signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be darkened. Interesting. The moon into blood. Weird. Before the great and notable day of the Lord come. What? All right, so we have the sixth seal of Revelation. And Joel and Luke and Peter all say that it does not happen in the day of the Lord. When does it happen? Before the day of the Lord. So whenever it occurs before the day of the Lord. Okay, so we have two answers, by the way. This is number A. Okay? Now, one last thing before we go, and we'll continue the study next week. Are you ready? Look at Matthew 24, the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Remember what we're doing here. We're identifying when does this take place. Number one, it takes place before the day of the Lord. I wonder if there's anything else that takes place around. Oh, I think so. Look at Matthew chapter number 24. All righty. Is there any question in anyone's mind who's read the Bible once or twice, or at least this chapter once or twice, that this is talking about the tribulation period? Any doubt in anyone's mind? Okay. Why don't we look there at verse number 20. Let's talk about verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet staying in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Okay, so let's put this on a time marker here. Where in here does that take place? The abomination of desolation. We have 7.5 years. We have 3.5 year, 3.5 year. Where does it happen? Halfway. All right, so verse 15 of Revelation 24 happens halfway through the tribulation period. Everyone got that? Now, please look at verse 21. Then shall be great tribulation. So what are we supposed to ascertain from that? Great tribulation begins when? Halfway. Okay. And probably lasts how long? All right, so probably great tribulation is all of these last 3.5 years. Now I have something to show you. Look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Well, what about that? All right. The moon shall not give her light. Strange. The stars shall fall from heaven. Huh. And the powers of heaven shall be shaken. When does it happen? After the tribulation. Is that what your Bible says? Okay. So, number two, after the tribulation. Cool. Now, so that means that the sixth seal of Revelation happens after the great tribulation and before what? The day of the Lord. Good. So one thing we know for sure, the day of the Lord does not happen until after the tribulation.